Our text for this evening's sermon is taken from the epistle lesson with special emphasis on the following words. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass to you. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, this Sunday many of you will celebrate Easter in your homes with a meal after going to church, and you'll invite family and friends to gather there for that meal. And what you'll do is you'll pass the food around the table, and you will say and hear requests like, please pass the ham, or please pass the potatoes. Jesus was the host at a table on the night when he was betrayed, a different table. We hear the gospel writer say, and as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Jesus fulfilled the Passover as he passed to them not just bread and wine, but his very body and blood. The Apostle Paul reminds us tonight that this meal that Jesus instituted on that first Maundy Thursday comes not from him or us. It comes from the Lord. It is the Lord's Supper, not the Christian's supper. Jesus is the host, not Paul, or you, or me. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered, or the same word, passed to you, is what he says. Comes not from me, but from the Lord. The Apostle Paul was not the host of the Lord's Supper for the Corinthian congregation, nor are your pastors hosts for the supper here at Trinity. We're sent ones. Now, Paul was an apostle, which means he was an eyewitness like the other apostles. He, in a different way, where our Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, but he was an eyewitness of the risen Lord. And then he was put in apostolic ministry like the others. The word apostle means sent one. And they were sent to say what the Lord says. They were not to add to the Lord's words, and they were not to subtract from them. Pastors are called and ordained into apostolic ministry. We vow at ordination to say what the Lord says, not to add to his word, not to subtract from it. That's the deal. So, for example, we're not at liberty to change the menu. It's bread and wine. That's what our Lord instituted. He is the host. It's bread and wine, not bread and grape juice, or not milk and cookies, for that matter. It's the Lord's Supper, not the Christian's Supper. And you're reminded about that. It's a reminder for you and for me. The alb covers, the white gown covers the pastor. He's a sinner just like you and everyone else. He needs to be covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness. He's not here of his own accord. He's been called and ordained. That's what the stole means. You get the stole as a pastor when you vow to say what the Lord says. You are put under orders. That doesn't mean pastors don't break this, and that's a damnable thing, quite frankly. And it does mean by wearing it that people automatically do this. In fact, you as a congregation are to hold your pastors to their ordination vow. In fact, when we were ordained, or when we were installed, you promised to do that. And where do you look to check up on us to see if we're giving you the goods, the Lord's words? Where do you look? The scriptures. Yeah. Quite frankly, when the pastor says, the Lord be with you, and We're holding each other to the word of the Lord, to say what he says. His are the words of salvation. And when his words are proclaimed, he is among us. That's what he promises. And he is among us as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not to be served, but to serve. And that's the chasuble we have here at Trinity. It's a reminder that it's really not the pastor serving you, it's the Lord through his word. The pastor is just the gopher, if you will. But it's the Lord doing it. I love what Luther says about that. I said this a couple weeks ago. Our Lord is at one and the same time the chef, the cook, the butler, the host, and the food itself. This is the Lord's Supper. Not the pastor's, not the people's, but the Lord's. And Paul reminds us of the fact that there's an etiquette at this table. The Lord is the host, and there are certain expectations. First, he says, quote, "Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." This examination is done on the basis of God's word, both the law and the gospel. So we examine ourselves by looking to the scriptures. Do we believe what it says? That we are poor, miserable sinners? That we don't have a leg to stand on? We are simply at the mercy of God? That no one is righteous? No, not even one. None of us. Do you accept what the Lord says about you? By the way, the commandments, as you look to the commandments and you examine yourselves, how many commandments have you broken? And we all have, whether it be in thought, word, or deed. It's always interesting to me when I ask new people who are coming into the faith, how many commandments do you think I have broken? They say two or three. I say, which two or three, and then they don't want to tell me. But look what they look at me like, really? You shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, if you even look at a woman lustfully, done. You broke it. You shall not murder. The Pharisees said to Jesus, well, we never murdered anybody. Pastor Mech has never murdered anybody, at least as far as we know. Jesus said, have you ever been angry? Guilty. Guilty, 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 guilty. We're all guilty. So we examine ourselves on the basis of the law and we fall short of the glory of God. But then also we are called to examine ourselves on the basis of the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to be sin for us, so that we might have the righteousness of God? Do you believe? Do you receive his righteousness? Are you here to be washed of your sin with the blood of the Lamb, inside and out? Do you confess that Jesus is Lord? That he's the only one who hasn't broken a single commandment, not even one, in thought, word, or deed? That's how we are to examine ourselves. Do you believe these things? Do you believe what the Lord says, both about your sin and about your Savior and how he gives you his saintliness, his goodness? Now, this is important stuff. And I know closed communion for a lot of people is just something they don't want to talk about, but it's really, really important. Because what does the apostle tell us? He says, for whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So what is a way of eating it in an unworthy manner? Number one, in unbelief, that you don't believe the Lord's words. He said, let there be light, and there was. He said to a paralytic, get up and walk, and what did he do? He said to Lazarus in the tomb, come out, what did he do? He did that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is my body, this is my blood, that's what he says, that he can do that? Of course he can. Of course it's a miracle. He's not just one of us. He's the God-man. And he says what he does, and he does what he says. So we take him at his word. It's not symbol. Symbols don't forgive. Symbols remind you of something else. What does our Lord say about this? It forgives your sins. He forgives your sins. This is his blood that was poured out for you and for me and for the life of the world and now poured into the chalice of Holy Communion. How else do you take it unworthily? By impenitence. You want to hold on to your sin? Do you want to say, well, that's not really a sin or that's no big deal? Then don't come up here. It's all a big deal. God is not mocked. That's how big a deal it is. God was tortured in Christ on a cross for the sin of the world. And then the apostle goes on to say, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. Now the Greek word there is krino. That's what it means, judgment. You're put into judgment. Your sins condemn you. Now, we don't purposely put people into judgment who don't yet believe, so we teach them first. We don't purposely put people into judgment, so if they're impenitent, we're not going to give it to them until such time as they repent, including ourselves. See how this works? This is to avoid what the Greek word is, katakrino, even sounds bad, the final judgment. Our Lord wants nobody judged for eternity to live without him in hell. None of us. Hence, that's why he tells us these things. He warns us about these things. And think about it this way. He's prescribing how this medicine of immortality is to be used according to his prescription. He's the great physician of both body and soul. You ever get a prescription that says on it, don't take this medicine with alcohol, for example? Because if you do, you could die. It's not good for you. Well, it's not good to take that in unbelief. It's not good to take that while you're mocking him and not confessing or being penitent with regard to your sin. It's deadly, you see? Because whether you believe it or not, our Lord gives you his body and blood. In belief, you receive, and it gives you eternal life. But in unbelief, it hurts you. God wants you to receive it rightly. So when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. That's why he brings all this stuff up. Don't eat this in unbelief or impenitently. That's what he's saying. Just take him at his word. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Here's forgiveness through my body and blood. It's all yours. We take him at his word. For by eating Jesus' body and drinking his blood in faith, we receive the forgiveness and life of his Passover. His Passover does not cause death to pass over you, like in the Old Testament, but it's better than that. It defeats death for you. That though you die, yet you will live. That though you die, you will rise to life with him. With him. Jesus said, remember, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides me, and I in him. Isn't that beautiful? In real and genuine ways. He bodies and bloods you together with him and one another in one big family, one big loaf, if you will. The wine of life together with God and one another. This is the gift, the testament, the inheritance Jesus leaves behind for you tonight. His public ministry began with his baptism and ends with this sacred meal over here. This night began with Jesus washing his disciples' feet and ends as the lamb is bound and led away and to be slaughtered and roasted on a cross. Our Christian life begins with the water too, and is sustained with the meal until the end. It is our manna in the wilderness until we reach the promised land of heaven, and the milk and honey of the marriage feast of the Lamb is ours. So tonight is a most special night indeed. A night when our Lord, when we ask the Lord to pass his gifts, and he passes his body and blood given and shed for you. For like the Apostle Paul, "For I receive from the Lord what I pass on to you, life, peace with God through his very body and blood." Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.